chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Get fired up.
Yeah.
Performance enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh yeah, you heard it right there. The greatest theme song since Let's Pick You Up. It is your State of Combat Boxing Podcast. Yeah, we're back. We're back with a bang. Brian Campbell, the voice. And you know my partner in crime. He's the hottest free agent in boxing journalism today. His name is Rafe Bartholomew.
Let me lick you up. Let
me lick free you agency.
Up. Turn around, baby. Let me lick you all around.
Boy, oh, Loney. Not a gang member.
Boom, boom, boom. Rafe Boogs, people wondering if we were ever going to do a show again. Would there ever be anything worth talking about besides top-ranked fights inside the damn bubble?
Brian,
we're back after
look,
a few weeks.
Let's put all the cards on the table here, man. I was begging, pleading that I could come on and keep my brand fresh last week. And you said, son, this ain't open mic night. Yeah, who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's it. And then I closed your garage door with a rope. Yeah, all right. No. Rafe, what people don't realize. We got a good show for you today. Whatever. Well, look, pretty decent fight from the Maloney twins on Tuesday night. More on that to come. A couple other headlines. But Rafe, people don't know that when we hang out, we speak in sound bites to each other. He speaks so well. We speak to each other. So all day today, you're like, it's going to be a challenge.
Oh, that's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a challenge to put together a boxing podcast right now. I don't know how the other people are doing it. What the heck are they talking about? Fights may happen, Rafe? Is that what they're talking about?
I suppose, but I feel sorry for them because they don't have an entirely different language to rely on, built out of sound bites that can just crack us up at our own dumb jokes over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Not everyone has a hatchcock, you American rooster. Yeah. Shout out to that. Rafe, you are in an undisclosed location on a lake. How are you enjoying your employment sabbatical at the moment?
Well, it's going really well. I had to get surgery on my shoulder before I came out here. And that was actually the problem with my writing. I thought I was winning that fight. I thought I won that fight. But apparently the judges didn't see it that way. And I injured my shoulder. But I've been swimming every day, Brian, and I am almost back in writing shape. I am ready to go.
That I use in clitoris is,
You're going to need, 7 to 8 more of them saltwater pies if you're looking to cure that injury, all right?
This is a freshwater lake, so it will take longer to get the right kind of resistance when I'm doing that breaststroke.
Exactly. Stroke that more than once. Shout out to your people, the Irish crew, the Slovakian crew, the ADK crew. Shout out to Carl Frock. Frock of the ADK crew appearing on the Raskin.
He's Frotch, man. He's been Frotch. We figured this out. This is no longer a mystery to America.
We've been doing Frotch since the beginning. Shout out to him, by the way, appearing on the great Showtime Boxing Podcast with Raskin and Mole.
Actually, no, don't shout out that because we deserve the Cobra. We should have gotten the first crack at the Cobra in American podcasting. Or somebody huge. Who is there? Anyone huge? Mannix is huge. Mannix could get Frotch. But
don't forget.
Other than that, it should be us because we hear Carl. We are deeply steeped in Cobra legacy than the average American, at least, well, and the average American boxing aficionado.
If you think I didn't attempt at any point to extend a hand to that bloke,
would you like to shake my hand?
Then you're crazy. So here's the, you want the real truth?
You know, that means we got to get Groves now. We got to go Groves. We got to go heel turn on him.
Hello Kitty pink tattoo on the left bicep. Indeed. The real story, Morning Glory.
Hello Kitty on titty. Tattoo on titty of Hello Kitty.
Hey, by the way, you see that weird Vlad picture he posted on Instagram of him about to go in the cryo chamber with those tight as balls John Stockton 80s jazz underwear on? I mean,
I missed that one. I got to check that out. I did catch, I don't know if you saw, I sent it to you over. I slid it in your DMs, Brian, on Instagram. It was Roy Jones Jr. attending some crazy military parade in Moscow, wearing a great Russian hat, hanging out with Russian dignitaries, the Russian ambassador to Grenada. Who knew?
Wow. Well, he is a Russian citizen, Rafe, okay?
Russian boxer number one.
The Russian, I think, is more to my liking.
Well, the true story is a year ago, I acquired the number of some British bloke publicist, and that led me to Carl Froch's manager, and that led me to a request to have the retired great appear on this show explicitly written in the email, Rafe, that we would love him, that we would, you know, we'd puff that bag more.
We're
than
pouring water all over those balls.
Ain't no question about it.
Maybe he blew his water.
He would have, okay? And the response was, I don't know, where does this go to, blah, blah, blah. And do you know how the conversation ended? How much will you pay him? Now, full disclosure, you do get, apparently it's custom in Europe, you get paid. Like when Irish radio has me on to talk about a Mayweather fight, they try to send me like $50 in, I don't know, francs, euros, I don't know what it is. Anyway, when you get the check in the mail, it costs more to cash it and transfer it than it is worth it. You know what I'm saying? Anyway,
I do hear you.
I am paying him ish, okay? I love you, Carl Froch. I love you, 80K, but I am paying you ish. So I wonder what Raskin paid, okay? And I will be listening to that podcast and have a full report next week.
I want to ask you, Floyd, if you don't mind. In my last fight, before I knocked out George Groves at Wembley Stadium in front of 80,000 fans, I would.
Yeah, thank you. Rafe, also shout out to the Godinez crew. I don't know what happened. Did Alex Godinez tap out to the COVID? Did he take the Kodo knee to the COVID? What happened here?
I hope not. I mean, the last time I heard from the great Alex Godinez in Sacramento, California, he hit me up. He sent me a text message wishing me well on my way out the door at the Athletic.
All right.
And I really appreciated that. But otherwise, I assume he's doing well. I hope he's doing well. Shout out to the entire crew, starting with the family.
Heard he had a great segment on the show called Deep Dive on the Drop. Sounded boring. Waited for another one. Still sounded boring. Never heard it again.
He's waiting for you to cut a check, and then you might get another deep dive on a drop.
Yeah. Well, that'd be very on brand 80K of him. Yeah. There you go. It's a full circle. Shout out to all the other crews. I don't know what they.
Shout out to Omaha, Nebraska.
Indeed. Ulrich Anderson. You know the boys. Robbie Rinaldi. You know Teofimo Rigondeaux.
The Danish crew. The union organizer crew.
Yes.
All the crew. Maddie Conrad crew.
Did we figure out if top B sample quality bloke is British yet?
I think it's an elaborate ruse. I think he's trying to lead us off the scent.
All right. That's great. All right. We will have some actual box to talk about today. So shout out to this sport trying to compete with the skin. I'm sorry. All you people who are waiting in your, in your queue, your podcast queue for another, you know, great box pod to pop in there and all you're getting are skinheads. Look, I'm sorry. Dana White's a crazy gangster, you know, not necessarily Kinahan level, but he's a crazy gangster and he's making it happen right now, okay? The skinheads are taking over. It is what it is. But, Rafe, box, MMA, not the only sport in town at the moment, right?
What else?
Hold on, wait for my thing to load. Rafe, did you know that this upcoming week we're looking at the Travelers Championship in golf here at CBS Sports?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the real travelers, like the we're gonna crown a new gypsy king.
No. The gypsy open, the travelers championship. It is, the golf is back. Okay, you, mask or not, golf is back, and I wanted you to know that CBS Sports has a golf podcast. We are in this game with two preview podcasts every week, covering daily fantasy storylines to watch, sleepers, best bets, and picks to win. It's called the First Cut Podcast, okay? Our crew includes Sportsline data wizard Rick Gaiman, who hit on Daniel Berger, Rafe, get ready to this, at 66-1 odds to win the Charles Schwab Championship Challenge at the Colonial. Your thoughts?
I'd take a 66-1 hit right now for sure.
If you're not listening to our previews, you could be losing money, Rafe, if you're not listening to the First Cut Podcast, okay? You need a couple more of them green stacks right now.
I could take some of that, yeah.
All right, well, instant recap podcasts from the First Cut are available after every single round. We're in your feed for the next morning. They will be in your cochlei, including Sunday night recaps after all the tourney action has wrapped. Thank you. Find it wherever you find audio. I don't know. It's called the First Cut Podcast. I'm sure it's great. Thank you, CBS Sports. Rafe, do you watch golf with your old man? No?
No, we're not a big golf family. I believe I've told this story. My father's very anti-golf. He's not into the country club sports. Not big in the Bartholomew household when I was a kid. He said he's 75 now, so I think he's past the age of acquisition. I was instructed if he ever took up golf to take his shotgun and kill him on sight.
All right. Hey, that's great. That's great. All right. Shout out to those white folks. Rafe, I love that you're like me. You don't join into like organized white crap, like fraternities. You're like, F that stuff, right? You didn't go to Northwestern and be like, let me join Kai Banga Banga. You know, no, get the hell out of here. Okay.
I probably should have. I would have. Look, let's say I would have put up much better numbers in college, okay, not just on club basketball, if I had.
You know, I'm tired of getting the taste of it. I want the whole load, man.
Well, you kept it.
But I could sleep at night, I didn't commit any sex crimes.
You didn't join any lacrosse teams. You kept a bit of your soul in place. So that's why we don't need no BWAA, right? I don't need no stinking, all right, there you go. Okay.
I would definitely join a bunch of fraternities before the House of Santo Piscopo.
Thank you. Thank you. Indeed. All right. You can read more on my crime blog here on YouTube. Okay. I hope Richie's doing well up there in Mountain View. Here's what's interesting. Yeah, this broke all over Twitter a couple weeks ago, old findings that Richard Dwyer may or may not have represented Andre Ward in the past.
This wasn't news. Everybody knew this. Yeah, Robbie Rinaldi put us onto this years ago.
So we've been doing dope, and that's what I'm saying. So what people don't know, and now it's a huge lament. I had a list of topics/questions that I was going to ask Richie. You know, especially if things got weird or awkward, then maybe. You never know when you're going to interview guy Rafe. Is he going to be a, five-word answer guy? Is he going to be a Teddy Atlas where you just you get one, right? You get it with Bernard and Teddy, you get one. I had the Andre Ward rumors on there. So what happened officially? So the only loss of Ward's career was against the late Dan Goosen in the courtroom, right?
I haven't read up all the weird old boxing scene stuff on Dwyer's representation, but if you asked him, Dwyer's this professional. I mean, buttoned up, knows his stuff, and he's going to tell you attorney-client confidentiality. That's privilege. He's not going to break that sacred bond.
Okay. You're right. Dwyer's better than, he's smarter than that. He's better than that. He's not,
Amateurs. Fools. Idiots. When they try to insult you, yep. What's that about?
I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man. Don't be a blank.
Hey, man. I heard you've been using my name in your mouth. All right. I heard you've been running these streets.
Don't be surprised if Canelo says, you know what, player? I've been running the streets fighting, you twice, fighting Danny Jacobs, moving up in weight. I'm going to fight somebody else.
Do you think Dwyer has a stick?
Oh, Dwyer has a stick.
Yes, indeed. All right. Rafe, we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. I'm not sure what cause that is, Rafe, but we're pausing for it to hear a word from our friends and sponsors. On the other side, actual boxing talk. Yes, coming at you. Dig.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
And we're back, BC Rafe Boogs, a boxing podcast between friends. It is the SOC. And Rafe, just last night, about last night, brother, actual box taking place within the top ranked bubble. Look, we've been very critical of the early launch of these top ranked summer series shows in Vegas, the matchmaking, a lot, you know, the broadcast, Evan Korn up in my, you know, I thought Triple G was getting in the S. You know what I mean? How dare you? How could you? How would you? I'm saying, where's sexy, Mexi Jose Cepeda? Okay. I will uncover the truth about him having defeated Jose Ramirez. I was there that night in Fresno. But Rafe, they carry on. Am I here to tell you that I loved and or watched Emmanuel Navarrete fight a guy with a 13-13 record on Saturday night? No. Although, shout out to that guy, Sergio Santos, on the undercard with that left hook from hell. That was entertaining. But this past Tuesday night, last night, the Maloney brothers begin night one of their two-night takeover of American TV inside that bubble when Andrew Maloney brought his WBA secondary super flyweight nonsense title into the ring against Golden Boy's Joshua Franco. And Rafe, the people that would know, the hardest of the hardcores, the Adam Abramowitz's, top bloke quality bloke, the Steve Kims, those people were on Twitter ahead of time saying, this is a good-ass fight. Let's stop this top-ranked slander. This is a good-ass fight. You know what, Rafe? For the second half, at least, there was a good-ass fight, and it was an upset. I'm not here to say your Maloney boys are trash, or even more specifically, white trash. But Joshua Franco came to fight, and by unanimous, very close decision, he let us know who he is on Tuesday night, Rafe. Your thoughts?
I would call it a good fight all around. And look, in full disclosure, I stopped watching it last night after the first four rounds, thinking like, I really don't need to watch this. But, you know, I got the score wrong. I found out in the morning that what had happened. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. Watch. And yeah, the fight blossomed. And we don't judge a fight that starts slow and picks up steam as a half good, half bad fight. No, that's a good fight when that happens. That shift in momentum is what we watch for. And Franco, I mean, that was just a great example of a fighter sticking with his game plan, keeping, you know, continuing his pressure, landing single hard shots here and there that took their toll. And as Maloney slowed down, Franco took over and really, really put it on him. I perforated eardrums.
Wow.
Look, Andrew Maloney, you know, you made a mistake, son, when you did not bring Glenn Rushton.
Yes.
You needed method. Broken rhythm pressure.
Yes, you need it. Yes. That's, you know, when we were in high school, Rafe, that was what they used to tell you. You know, if you wanted to prepare for your future life, you know what I'm saying? Your future time in the frat game, if you will, you would learn
the broken rhythm.
Yeah. To you
the know, broken rhythm method. Yeah, you need to, if you don't break the rhythm, you
I mean, I don't know where.
You're going to need a job.
I don't know what Andrew Maloney's teenage years were like, but come on. But anyway, seriously, Josh Franco jumped out the screen in the second half of that fight from the standpoint of confidence, combination punching, and just going after it. He's got Robert Garcia, a great coach in his corner. And now you hear after the fact, Rafe, I hadn't necessarily followed Joshua Franco's rise on the Golden Boy Facebook Friday night series or whatever, but he took an L in the past and he took hard fights on the way up because that's Roberto Diaz's style within Golden Boy. And you could tell he learned and gained a lot. In that 10th round, he cut Maloney, but the 11th round, when he put that left uppercut, that combo on him to drop him, when he snapped his head back with that stiff arse jab, you were like, holy crap. I don't know if he works on the city of Santa Barbara sanitation crew like your other guy, but this felt like a good story, you know? Like, look at this guy. He took his moment. He came in as the opponent. We got rival promoters to get together and make a match, not the glossiest match ever, but billed as sort of this white guy coming with his brother to take over the world, Klitschko style.
Kind of like the beginning of Kickboxer.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Hi, my friends and my brother. So, hey, Jason Maloney, the pressure's on you Thursday night, bro, because Franco didn't know this was an exhibition. And does this break? Because here's the deal, Rafe. We're very honest as American Fight fans, right? We don't have respect for the big-time, I'll say it, the big-time white bloated records, the Jeff Hawns from Australia, the bootleg Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton was the real deal. But the bootleg Ricky Hattons that come out of England, we're always like, all right, that's cool. You know, it's great that you beat up flashy, rashy Rinaldi over there. But, you know, come over to the States and get sent to hell like a real man, right? Obviously, the reputation in England has changed because they've turned it around. They got a lot of champions. It's a hotbed. But, you know, I was on – we have great Aussie listeners, and I was on that bloke's podcast and trying to explain to him that no disrespect to the Gerard Fletchers or the Washed Giles or whatever – but, you know, we're not, you know, the shapeshifter. We're not going to love those guys until we see that they can do something. Does this send Andrew Maloney back into the, what do you call that animal with the pouch, the sack in the front and the
like a marsupial? He's a kangaroo, a wombat.
Does he go back in the wombat sack and go, you know, go take a couple of them Australian pies for a while? Or can he bounce back from this?
My man, it's a pandemic. I don't know if Australia will take him back after he's spent months in this country in just, you know, the disease capital of the planet right now. You know, he might.
Yeah, I love watching De La Hoya. De La Hoya was a freak.
I mean, you got Corona, you got whatever Oscars giving people out there. I mean, there's a lot of disease in boxing right now. Shout out to Jamel Herring, get better, champ. Maloney, look, I don't know. Top Rank invested in them. They might as well. Why throw them out? Why would you throw both twins out because one loses? That makes no sense. But why move on or kind of deprioritize the guy because he lost one good fight? And these are, while this was really, I mean, this was my first time paying close attention to an Andrew Maloney fight. And I can't say with any kind of certainty that, oh, well, actually, he's usually better than this. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he came over here and just got outclassed, which happens. And he didn't get outclassed, but beat. There's no reason to give up on the guy, especially under the weird conditions that everything is happening right now. A loss in the time of coronavirus is not as big a black mark on a record to me, and it shouldn't be to anyone, as it might be during other times when we don't really, it's harder to get good sparring. It's harder to get the same kind of training camps. And which was interesting. I heard Robert Garcia had said that, Joshua Franco had the best camp. I mean, well, of course, everybody always says they had the best camp, but I believe, look, I love me some Robert Garcia. I love the RGBA, yes, Robert Garcia Boxing Academy, now based in Riverside, California.
South Coast Mitsubishi in the house.
Yeah, I like some South Coast Mitsubishi as well. And I don't know. I even though I'm sure and I know Robert is not knows how to blow smoke like any other person in the boxing business. His word means more to me than a lot of people. And I like his fighters. I like his stable. I like what he does as a trainer. Like and, you know, if he said Josh Franco had a good camp, I'll take his word for that.
Okay. Okay. Let's not throw the Australian baby out with the bathwater here. Shout out to my friend Zach Fitzpatrick was the Aussie podcast I was mentioning. They call it the unofficial scorecard podcast. So check that out if you're a fan of all things Australian men and podcasts.
And if I may add, Brian, it's 115 pounds. It's super fly. These guys, they can take. This was 115 last night.
I think it was. What's super was flyweight? It? I thought super flyweight was 118.
No, 118 is bantam, chief. Give me the card. Give me your card.
Yeah,
I'm taking. I'm confiscating your card. Come on, you don't even know what weights these little guys. Tell me what minimum weight is, you bastard.
Bantam weight in skinhead is 135. Thank you.
Oh shoot! You know what? I need to read up more on the bizarre retirement, non-retirement of Dwarf King Giant Wanheng Menayathin.
That needs to be added to my rundown. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Continue. Yes. Oh, so Maloney gave quotes afterwards. I will not be defined by one loss. I'll be back. It wasn't my night. This wasn't the best version of Andrew Maloney. Full credit. You want to hear that stuff from him, the champ. But, you know, he had his close up and he had a hungry ass guy in front of him. Does this put, you know, because remember in the old Klitschko way, if, you know, if you beat
my brother, Andrew,
I have to come after you, right? You know, Chris Bird made Vitaly's shoulder quit. And then, you know, Big Vlad's like, I'm coming after him, right? Will Jason Maloney on Thursday night win and then say, Joshua Franco, you're next, my friend?
I would hope so. The same way that Canelo avenged his brother Rigoberto's loss to Austin Trout, which I know was not a loss for Austin Trout in the Campbell household, but Canelo at least came and showed up to defend the family name. Does he fight Lara again now after Lara sent Ricardo Alvarez to hell? I think you just got to write that brother off. You just got to let him go.
Who's the Tito Jackson of the? Who's the guy who's there but not there? You know what I'm saying? Like, I guess that's everyone not named Canelo, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, Rigoberto could fight. Who was the guy I did the PBC face to face with? That was
that's the one who fought Lara, right? And got sent to hell.
What's that guy's name?
Isn't that Ricardo?
I don't know. He was a nice guy though. Hey, the Canelos are nice people. All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. What a night for red-haired boxing. Okay. Rafe, Joseph Adorno, the good-looking prospect from Top Rank Knockout Puncher, he got knocked off the card with an illness. I didn't watch this Christopher Diaz co-main jazz. Did you?
Unfortunately, I watched. I had it on TV. I don't know if I watched it. It was on TV. I would say that.
Okay, he wants a title shot, Rafe, after this victory over Amanda.
Didn't he talking about going down to 122?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch it. I'm telling you here, he beat Jason Sanchez. Well, maybe we can get Evan Korn on to break this down. He was in the bubble, right?
I'm not a big believer in Christopher Diaz. He's a very handsome guy, decent fighter. Our guy, you shouted him out earlier, the respected voice and smart bloke, Adam Abramowitz, Saturday Night Boxing, said he's a good B fighter and he comes to fight and he performs well. And that's exactly correct. He doesn't get the juices flowing for me. And the guy, I think the guy he beat, I looked this up, 6 months or longer ago, but the guy he beat when he won a vacant version of that 126 pound belt that he had for a minute before, or was it 130? Because he lost to Ito? Yeah, the one he lost to Ito at 130. He beat that guy, Braulio Rodriguez, that Ryan Garcia beat in Madison Square Garden on the Canelo Fielding undercard, like the just insane and terrible guy that was sticking his tongue out a lot and then got sent to hell in four rounds. That's who Christopher Diaz beat, either for the vacant title or for the eliminator. Anyway, that record was thin. And then he lost to Shakur, like just got his ass shut out. Leave him on undercards and we'll put his fights on and not watch them.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Evan Korn, line one. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to my employer, chief. Oh.
You think if Evan Korn had the COVID, he would tell us?
I why? It's none of our business.
Yeah, but then he'd be out of that bubble, bro. All right?
It's true. It's true. Does he want to be in the bubble?
I don't know. We're going to have to bring him on and talk about it.
Word, did you hear? I listened to, was it, must have been Mannix. I don't know. Bernardo Osuna talking about being in the bubble, man. That poor man has been stuck.
Oh, he has? Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. They're letting him out to, I think, attend his daughter's like graduation or some yeah. family event, but that's the only thing he gets to go out for. Like, damn.
They've assigned Tim Lane to be his handler.
But I still got him in a cage. He listens to me very well. I'm gonna let him loose another round.
Alrighty then. This box game is barely holding together, Rafe. Do you have any comments of the recent top rank fights that we didn't talk about? The Emmanuel Navarrete. What was last week's schlop?
It was Josh Greer getting upset by Mike Plana. Oh, yeah. Look, these the main champ, events have been decent.
You might want to get five or six more of them pillows for yourself, champ, if you keep this up, all right?
Look, I'm there had been signs that Josh Greer maybe was not as hot a prospect as we thought. And props to Plana for coming in and fighting well, knocking him down twice. Looked good, got get himself a decent payday out of it at what, 122 or wherever.
Hey, I'm looking at the boxing schedule, which I will ask you at the end of the show whether you care about any of this. But July 7th, Top Rank's going to give us Ivan Baranchik, Jose Zepeda.
That would be an awesome fight in any time.
Yes. Is that Top Rank? That better be Top Rank.
Well, it's on their series, yeah.
All right. We better get that man on ahead of time. You hear me, Korn? We better get him. Okay, thank you. Enough of that, all right? Let's move on in boxing, Rafe, if you will. If you will. Okay.
I don't know. I got a lot of Maloney takes.
Yeah.
He fights like a weak gang member.
You mentioned Juan Hang Menethol and the man who beat Floyd's record, beat Rocky Marciano's quote unquote record, but gets no credit for it. The 34-year-old Rafe from I have a fight
with a Thailand guy.
Rafe, do you know, are you okay with the fact that at times he has changed his name to like fried chicken something, like, you know, very Fasan 3K battery style?
Well, I don't have any problem with that. Why? I mean, that's custom in the Thai boxing industry. It helps the fighters make money and support themselves. It's all good.
Money, player.
It's a little shameless.
Right?
Rafe, it's a little shameless.
Right.
It's a little shameless. All right.
Oh, okay. When does shame ever matter in boxing, my man?
Yeah. All right.
Right. If you look at boxing hard enough, you're going to find people with colorful pants, not just wearing boxing gloves.
Okay. Yep. Juan Hang Menathon, Menyothin.
Menyathin, I think.
Menyathin, also known as Juan Hang Kaying Hadangyong. Is I was close. All right. He's 54-0 with 18 KOs. And the news was that, you know, he's a longtime champion at mini flyweight or minimum weight, or is that super straw weight? What do we call that?
Minimum or straw weight. Okay. It's 105, right?
He walked away from the sport at 54-0, the true king of this sport. But he's back, Rafe, because nobody retires for more than an hour anymore. He's back.
Well, he was hacked or something, right? There's some weird story, but I need to read up on the whole thing. This is the problem. But I saw the great resource on Twitter, Asian Boxing, at Asian Boxing, had broken stuff down about this, was following it very closely. And it sounds like one of these weird, bizarre, who knows what happened, tales. It's going to be a fun one.
All right. Can you put on, because I've given my card away a few times on this show. Can you put on your ultimate Cliff Rold hat? A lot of respect for Cliff Rold, an insider, a historian, a lover of all things small men. Shout out to a lot of our Patrick Connor, a lot of our people that live this ish. Is Juan Hang Meyothin's run at 54-0? How legit, Rafe? You with me? Please tell me, are you with me, Rafe?
I am with you. I am with you.
How legit? Like, obviously, it's not like real legit. I mean, he has a fight every week with a Thailand guy, to be honest with you. But
He is a Thailand guy. You can't blame him for fighting Thailand guys. Yeah, can you come to the States and find some 105-pound guys? It ain't easy.
That's a fair point. Rafe, how much respect? I mean, he did beat Pedro Taduran, the Pinoy. How much respect should we have for what he has done in his career?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and make the Hall of Fame case for him. shout out to Sat Chitalata. But he's beaten 54 fighters in a row. He's had how many defenses of his title? Lots. What? It's probably in double digits. Probably maybe getting up close to 20. That's pretty impressive. That's very, very good. It would be nice to see him try and unify, right? Is he in there with our guy knockout CP Freshmart in that division? Well, that would be a good fight. He's a Thailand guy.
I don't know that shit. Come on.
So he is very good.
I don't got that dissolve shit.
I've watched his fights a few times. And I will say that watching them, it doesn't jump off the screen. You're like, these are two tiny guys, and this tiny guy is better than the other one. But there's a pretty small – I think at the very, very lowest, for whatever reason, it doesn't – and I don't really get it. 105 pounds seems like if you look at BoxRec, they have way fewer 105-pound fighters listed in the world, right, as active than – just up 3 pounds at like 108, where there are like super, super talented guys like Ken Shiro and Kosei Tanaka. And that's where Akira Yagashi has fought. Well, he got bigger over time, but the 108 pound division is hot. You know, I forget the guy's name, but he Argentine prospect knocking guys out at that weight. I mean, it's a fun that's the Elwin Soto weight, I think.
You're feeling it. That's right. To watch yourself.
But not. Then you go down to 105 and it feels a little bit like a barren wasteland in comparison. So I rate the junior flies, the super flies above the minimum weights, the straw weights, personally.
Okay, that's fair. I'm reading a piece from the Bangkok Post.
In Thai?
No, in English. Okay. Wan Hong not retiring. He insists his promoter. His promoter's name is Pia. Wow. His promoter's last name, Rafe, has a lot of letters in it. That's not what? That's not racist, Rafe. It's the truth.
No, it's just entertaining to me. Okay. Well, can you read it for me?
Pirat Vachicharata Atanana Wong. He insists on Monday that the champ will not hang up his gloves. Right. He's known right now in Thailand, the fighter, as Wan Hang CPF.
Okay.
What is that? What company is that?
I don't. It's probably a. It's some kind of. It's either an energy drink like Sri Saketsa Rungvisai's M150, or it is a convenience store or something like that.
He had written, "This is Wan Hang. Nobody knows my body better than myself. Everybody wants money, but I prefer protecting my body. So I am quitting boxing." And now he's back. His promoter said, I talked to him on the phone and he admitted he did it because of stress during the COVID-19 pandemic, Rafe. I bet you they called him up and said, Wan Hang, we'll give you the money that you want. All right, bro.
Good for him. Yeah, he pulled a Henry Cejudo.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right.
See, I'm getting down. Maybe I'm going to come over and go full skinhead like you.
He is currently one of Thailand's only two world champions, along with Rafe, WBA minimum weight title holder knockout CPF. Is that knockout?
Yeah. Oh, so CPF just means CP Freshmart.
Okay. Okay. Shout out.
It is a convenience store. Yes.
Have you been to Thailand?
No, I have not. I've never been to Thailand.
Have you been to a CP Freshmart?
No, I don't know if that exists outside of Thailand, but it does not exist in any country I've set foot in.
So let me ask you about Asian culture, Rafe.
I probably cannot answer this with any great degree of expertise, but go.
What area of Asia is Thailand and the Philippines considered?
Wait, say this again?
When you look at on the map, Thailand and the Philippines, they're close by. What area
of Asia? Southeast Asia.
Southeast, okay.
That's the region.
You know how I frequent gas stations, right? I eat out of them. I like that culture, that food culture. Like, you know, you don't have a question about what I'm doing.
You know, we understand what you're doing by the hot dog truck.
You know, I walk into a Cumberland Farms. I'm going right to that roller machine, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got the
French, gotta get those tornadoes.
They got the French toast tornado with the scrambled eggs on the inside and the maple syrup on them. You know, you can get the buffalo chicken ones. I don't know what kind of chemicals they put on the outside of that, but it burns, Rafe. It's good.
I like the country gas stations where it's basically like homemade stuff wrapped in aluminum foil. Yes, you know, if it's like an egg biscuit, or it could be on a Kaiser roll. It might say Philly cheese and have something totally different inside. That's the stuff.
Wow, this is probably our most interesting podcast we've ever done. What do they have inside Southeast Asian equivalents of that for like fresh food to eat? You know, cooked food?
Yeah, well, actually, convenience stores in certainly in the Philippines, and I have heard, although I've not experienced, in a lot of other Asian countries are really good, or they're, because people, they are a bigger, a lot, it's more common to go to the 7-Eleven or the mini stop in Manila or wherever in the Philippines and buy a meal. So they'll have good fried chicken, they will have their own versions of kind of microwavable rice meals, rice with ulam. It could be pork adobo. It could be caldereta. They'll actually have real meals there. They aren't I actually don't like those because they're such poor versions of the real thing, which you can get cheaper on the street at like a turuturo or a carinderia. Like if you go to, there's someone who's cooked it fresh. Why would you, and charging you less and giving you more food that's better, why would you get that at 7-Eleven? But they have
my head down a bull's asshole, but I'd rather take the 7-Eleven owner's word for it.
Yeah, it has to be your bull though. But the things that are good, the shopao in the Philippines is basically the same as the steamed pork bun you might have seen in like a dim sum restaurant, if you've ever, you know, if your uncultured ass has ever been inside a dim sum restaurant. It's you know, white steamed bun filled with either bola bola, which is sort of be like a mixture of beef and other stuff, and the other, you know, pork asado, which is to be the chunks of pork in a sauce inside, and you put the sauce. There's a sauce they give you, which is it's a little bit salty. It's basically oyster sauce mixed with a little bit of shortening to give it more thickness. And anyway, there's a lot of good food at 7-Elevens and and mini stops in the Philippines. And I've heard that is true throughout the region. A friend of mine who has traveled the world as a basketball shooting coach, and he kind of shops himself out to different professional leagues and teams and say, hey, pay for my trip. I will come help your players, show you some new stuff. I won't charge you much. I just want enough to make the trip because I like to travel. So he run this hustle all over the place, and he judges countries in part by their convenience stores and how good the food is inside them. And he said the two best countries he is coached in for convenience store food are Japan and Taiwan, which if you are a Chinese nationalist, you just consider part of China. But Japan and Taiwan are the places with the best 7-Elevens, he said, like full on great bento box meals, really delicious, fresh food. Philippines is, I would say, you get stuff that's a little more processed there, but it's tasty and filling. And I've had many a meal.
Is it safe though, Rafe? Because I've been in Mexico, I've been in South Arizona, where they tell you when you walk into the McDonald's, don't order water if your body's not used to this kind of water. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course. Yeah. There aren't, at least in the Philippines, I've never had that problem. I know people who will only drink bottled water who just don't trust it. And they've like foreigners who lived in the country for years and it's just like, nope, not going to do it. I've drank water. People gave me cups on the street, in the province, in the woods, like, and luckily never got into deep trouble with any of that. There's a little, you're aware that, look, this may not be the cleanest water, but I'm going to roll with this. And if I get sick off it, that's not the end of the world. Hopefully not the end of the world. I got worse food poisoning from Philippine Airlines than I ever got from any food I ate in the Philippines.
All right. Well, there's that. I'll one day you and I will travel to Southeast Asia with a camera and a budget, and we will eat and crap a lot.
That sounds great. That's I'm available anytime. If not, they're not accepting visitors at the moment, but I mean, when they are, we're there.
We all want things, you know. You can't get what you want all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, I want an 11-inch penis. It's not going to happen.
Rafe, speaking of gangsters, not Eddie. Daniel Kinahan, the alleged Rafe, the alleged.
I would say, I think we could go as far as accused. We could say, because alleged, Daniel Kinahan has never been convicted of anything. He has no criminal record. But if the Guardia, in the Irish Guardia, their police, their FBI, their members of their parliament, members, you know, their people at the highest levels of their government are saying, we consider this man the head of an international drug syndicate. Great. He has not been convicted of anything, but I would say accused drug runner Daniel Kinahan and whatever, and an influential boxing figure.
Alleged shady man. All right, you got to look at the whole man. Alleged shady man Daniel Kinahan has now been publicly renounced. Is that the right word? By Tyson Fury and Bob Arum. Arum still claims he's a great man. I love him, but they are asking him to step aside from being part of the negotiations.
I bet he's getting a step aside fee.
Yep, for maybe a reach around fee for the third Wilder Fury fight that is on the docket potentially for December. Rafe, do you believe he actually steps aside? Do you care? I have journalist friends in the English world who think that we don't care enough on this side, that it's the biggest story in sports at the moment. We had this talk the last time we had a pod. We're just used to these type of characters. These are the type of characters who make boxing work. You know what I'm saying, Rafe?
I think there is definitely some truth to that. There is a good argument that if at least the crime ring that Daniel Kinahan is accused of being in charge of is on a greater scale than just some local OG who happens to, you know, bankroll a couple fighters in whatever country or whatever city here in the States, something like that. But still, I think there's a difference in order of magnitude. He's, you know, accused of ordering, close to 20 murders in Ireland, which is pretty, pretty like that brings it into perspective really fast. And so I sympathize with that. On the other hand, it wasn't until recently that for whatever reason, they undertook this effort to start pushing him out to the front, right? Because if our listeners, if any of our listeners think that there aren't silent partners in boxing who may have ties to criminal activity, past or present, then I would like to sell you a bridge.
Yes.
But it's rare. You rarely see them coming to the front and being the, like, oh yeah, this could never have been done without the great work of my friend Al Capone.
Yeah.
That was really weird with that, and I don't know why they chose or tried to do that and stuck with it as long as they did, because as soon as they started, the heat started coming down. They got more attention. The Irish government got involved, and Kinahan was removed from the perch in the weird Bahrain Sports Boxing Association that he'd been given there, removed in name. And so what do I think really happens? He goes back to what he was doing. He's the silent partner. He's the guy behind the scenes. Bob and other people who work in boxing still probably need to go through him if they're going to do business with MTK. But they've decided that the most prudent way to move forward with the business is to not flaunt the fact that the most important man or one of the most important men in these business deals is someone whose business outside of boxing is believed to be full of, you know, really, really heinous crimes.
We actually got Aram's take on Kinahan.
The guy has balls. He fights like a tough, tough gang member.
Well, he actually is a tough gang.
He could be a really, look, I imagine he is a very, very good businessman, right? You have to be to stay on top of that kind of business and not get hurt or put in jail or any of the other things that happen. And he also could be a really, really good boxing mind and a person who's able to do the kind of things that they were. He could be everything that the boxing people say that he is. It's none of their business to ask what he does with the rest of his time. I get that. Yeah. I'm not mad at them. But for the sort of, as long as boxing is going to be taking money from corporations like Disney and Fox and all these sort of and Sky and the BBC is trying to get into boxing in the UK, as long as they're going to be working with these sort of out in the open, whatever you want to call it, respectable, quote unquote, society, then you can't go around flaunting your association with that side of that other side of the world.
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't, then why would you say he am, Rafe? they say he now works out of the UAE. That just happens to be where the skinheads are going to set up shop this summer on "quote unquote" Fight Island. I wonder, you know, you think there's any? Do they cross swords there at all?
I don't know. I mean, also look, the scandal ridden MMA associate is the Chechen warlord Ramzan Kadyrov, right? And his Akhmat FC. And there's Akhmat FC boxers now, too. And I don't blame any of these fighters for I don't care what country they're from, here, anywhere. Like, Thailand. It's not easy, and you got to, and their career is in boxing. And if that brings them in touch with people who have criminal lives on the other sides of their life, there's nothing I don't know. I don't want these fighters to be roped into, into crimes that I hope they don't end up committing. I mean, obviously, if you look at, say, Avtandil Kurtsidze is the downside of this, where his ties to that Georgian crime syndicate ended up getting him caught up in a RICO case, and now he's in jail for like a decade or more.
Mike Tyson, baby. Mike Tyson. Hey, Mike Tyson.
Rafe, I did want to say that MMA is not for everybody, as we know.
Everybody's different. I don't want to watch two grown men with panties on.
But we do know that Tyson Fury and Dana fancy each other, so I'm not trying to break any story. I'm just saying I wonder, because Dana was asked at the press conference of the last fight, are the rumors true that Tyson Fury will be a playable character in the UFC 4 video game? And Dana kind of got all weird and blushing and then said yes. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's taking Kinahan money to put on Fight Island. I'm just saying, like, you got to believe that Dana's conversations with Frank Warren and Fury are in hope of eventually stealing him from Bob when the Top Rank deal's over, right? And putting him on UFC Fight Pass for stupid money, right? So to do that, Uncle Dana and Kinahan probably have to share a couple drinks and whores together, right?
Sure. Well, I guess the question still would boil down to, could Tyson Fury make more money in a huge UFC event than in a huge boxing event? Is that probably not, right? Because UFC is still going to take more money.
Very true. Very true. All right. That's it. All right. That roll on. The other bit of news we got this week, Rafe, Oscar De La Hoya, 47, did an interview with Cynthia Conti of the Golden Boy owned RingTV.com and said he's going to come back, Rafe, and that he's back in shape, but not to fulfill the desires of this podcast, Rafa, and fight, let's say, Conor McGregor. The 47-year-old De La Hoya wants to fight the very best of the young up-and-coming fighters at 154 or 160, and then specifically targeted big name welterweight stars who want to move up and challenge him. I mean, we all know Oscar is a freak. We know a lot of things about Oscar.
It's gonna be a challenge.
It's one thing to prepare your horse for war, and again, do a circus
Oscar
fight.
Could do that.
Do a circus fight like I'm gonna fight McGregor, or I'm gonna fight Mosley for a third time. It's two old guys, right? You're either gonna buy it or you're not. It's going down next month, right? No, he's like, I'll fight the very best. They even asked him, what about Canelio? And he paused awkwardly and then was like, no.
He is, still has the mentality that he stops and think about it, because he probably was thinking, hell yes, and then just realized he can't say it and was like, no, of course not. Like, by the way, why not at this point? It's all a joke. Everything is a joke.
All right.
Nothing matters anymore, Brian. Why not fight his own fighter, get sent to hell? I don't know if it could get sanctioned. Would it get sanctioned? Could they get that sanctioned with all that money? Could they beat Floyd and Manny?
Player, this isn't round two or round three. You're running out of time.
All right, listen, player. No to all of that, okay?
Kovalev was?
You're going to stop and hear this. I don't care if you're an Audi or an Indy. I got an in-betweeny for you, okay? Oscar versus Miguel Cotto. Because this is all Cotto knows, okay? And I'm sure that bicep is healed from fighting Wash Saddam Ali. So here's the deal, Rafe.
Well, I got the tagline already.
What?
Mr. Nuts versus Mr. Nets.
Yep. Hey, I got to pull that sound of Richie Dwyer just laughing his balls off to Oscar the Fishnets during my interview with him. It was great. So, look, Oscar's crazy. I don't even believe Oscar will get in the 12-round shape that he's saying. He's threatened this before. But, it's stupid when he says, I'll face the best. That's what I've always done. Stop. You're 47. But, Rafe. Could he compete with how old do you think Miguel is?
Not quite 40.
Let me look it up. My Wi-Fi is going to take a while here.
Hold on. My Wi-Fi. He might be over 40 because I'm 39. Almost 40. You're 40. How old can Miguel Cotto be? Old balls?
Yes or no? Can 47-year-old Oscar De La Hoya compete with 39-year-old Miguel Cotto for a 10-round old guy fight?
Yeah, why not? I have no clue. It'd be interesting. If he got into shape, I believe in Oscar. Oscar's never going to lose it. He couldn't handle the speed that one time in 2008, but hey, that's 12 years ago. He's got lots of time to freshen up.
Question number 2. If we didn't have that DAZN-ish, and for all we know, no disrespect.
We might never have it again.
Never have it again, so no disrespect to anybody that works there. I love you all, but I don't know what's going on with that. What does that do on pay-per-view? Is that a sad, Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell type ending, or is it no, that's a healthy pay-per-view?
I think it's maybe better than the sad Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell saga that Oscar was responsible for. I don't see it as I don't see it as hitting a million. I just don't.
Okay, I agree. Do you think it does more than Sergey Kovalev versus Andre Ward 1 and 2 combined on pay per view?
Yes, because that would be 300,000, right?
Okay, thank you. All right, Rafe, will he ever make it to a ring against a he better not let Triple G send him to hell. Stop it! Come on.
Who started the Manny might fight Triple G rumor? Was Freddie? I think Freddie said that. Wouldn't it? I could talk myself into that.
No.
Classic Manny with the huge speed advantage over a guy. Look, he's still got legs that work, man. And we don't know if Triple G, likes to visit the pharmacy in the same way. So yo, I could talk myself into this. Triple G was looking real slow against Sergey Derevyanchenko.
Same Bertel.
Stop it. Okay. All right.
You can't handle your speed, son.
Yes, I've been looking forward. Okay, Rafe, let's run through a couple others. Inside PBC Boxing on Fox, along with any other, it seems, Fox shoulder content in both pro wrestling and boxing, up to and including the great PBC face-to-face. I've got news for all of you.
It ain't, and it won't, and you're not, and you ain't.
Simple as that. Rumors, Rafe, that the entire live production team, rumors, this is a rumor, the entire live production team got let go as well. You know, shout out to people that worked on that show that we like a lot. And shout out to Kate Abdo as well. But is that expected? Is that tough to see? It doesn't mean Fox is out of boxing. It probably means that they're going to use other resources to get the job done and just not waste any more money on shoulder content.
Right. Look, I think at some point in time, this always happens with boxing shoulder content, right? It gets watered down over time, and then eventually the plug gets pulled. And it's usually because at the very beginning of these things, when it all begins, hey, this is great. Let's blow this out. Let's pull out all the stops. Let's really build this. And then, you know, Hans Zimmer, boom. And then, it's not quite making as much money as you hoped. You know, people don't have the stomach for losing money that they think they did. And unfortunately, really, I mean, we joked about PBC Face to Face, and
great show. You've never seen it, but a great show.
It was. I watched it every day with my Nana on Fox. Every Saturday afternoon in the early, you know, right before I took her for the 4 p.m. special at the diner. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we joked about it a lot.
Was she a great big fat person?
She was a big person.
Look, yeah. Nana likes her Salisbury steak, okay? Nice and sloppy, Brian.
The first thing you do when you take out Nana.
Well, the first thing I do is make him toast my.
Oh my God! Oh.
No!
Brian.
Basically, shot his load and worked too hard at the front side of that round, and then
go ahead, Rafe. Sorry.
All right, I know. I give up. I'm not going to. I'm not going to follow that up with a. I'm really sorry for the people from the production team who lost their jobs. I hope you guys come back soon after a load watch.
Yeah. That's true. Hey, shout out to Marcos Viejas, the journalist. Right. Shout out to
Dan. Marcos will still get some work. Will still work as the unofficial scorer, right? Yes, when Fox starts putting boxing back on the air.
I hope so, because
he was great. He's one of the best since Harold. I mean, he probably was scoring better than Harold was over the last 10 years of Harold's career. Anyway, Harold is just a treasure, and like, you know, for being the character that he was. But Marcos was fantastic at that.
Marcos Viejas has done a spectacular job.
Which
the
part?
Journalist.
Oh, the journalist. Okay, I got that. Rafe, also in the news, Joe Calzaghe said, quote, "I would have beaten Andre Ward in a close fight." You want to hear the actual quote that he gave talking to British Boxers TV? Super Joe says, quote, "I think it would have been quite tactical. I think I would have outworked him. I think it would have been quite a close fight because he is very cagey. He likes to counterpunch. I'm also a counterpuncher. I like to feint and let fighters come on to me." Oh, wow. "Like the Jeff Lacy style fight. Ward's clever. He's quite cagey, but I'd win this fight. I think it may be a bit like the fight with Hopkins in some rounds. It's one of them fights. I think I would have to beat him on points, but whether it would have been a great fight to watch, I'm not sure." Rafe, Super Joe, gun to your head, one of my favorite fighters. You hate that white man. Would he have beaten Andre Ward if he had fought him before retiring?
That's gonna be a challenge, Brian. I think it depends completely on where the fight takes place. If the fight takes place,
you mean like in the center of the ring, or
no? In what country it takes place in? If it happens in the States, Ward is going to win. If it happened in Wales or at Wembley in front of 79,000 people, then I think Calzaghe, because look, Calzaghe, I could see Calzaghe Calzaghe. Why did I turn into Calzaghe? Calzaghe. I could see Super Joe outworking Ward, right? Because he was a way more active fighter and he had good feet. How would Ward stop Joe from letting his hands go? Because that would, if Ward figures that out, then Joe's done, right?
Yeah, and Ward's a great infighter.
And he did that against a lot of guys, but Calzaghe would be tough to do that against.
Rafe, Rafa, huh? it could be a hell of a chess match.
It would be a really good fight. I like the fight.
Yeah, I like it a lot. All right. Chris Eubank Jr., now being trained by Roy Jones Jr., says, quote, "I know I can beat Canelo." Your thoughts on that, Rafe? Many men have predicted that, Rafe. But up to this point, only Austin Trout and Floyd Mayweather have been able to.
I'd stop Canelo. I'd knock Canelo out.
No round.
It don't matter what round. Put him in there and I'd knock him out.
Look, Eubank, you can't really make a convincing case that he's done anything to deserve a Canelo fight, but he looks great. He can sell a fight. I could talk myself into Eubank, not as someone who's going to win, but as a fun fight, especially if we're assuming that whoever Canelo fights next before the end of 2018 is not going to be one of the very best options on the table.
Yo, I don't know if you've been following Willie Monroe Jr.'s Instagram account, but he's pushing. He's got cushion for that pushing, Rafe.
Yeah, you know what I think about this. Canelo would have a harder time with the Rochester, New York garbage plate.
How dare you? How?
Than he would with Rochester, New York's Willie Monroe Jr.
Oh, it was a Volkswagen against a Ferrari, and the guy driving the Volkswagen was a bad driver.
There it is. All right.
Monroe Doctrine.
Thank you. I'll make you flip cheeseburgers. All right. I'll make you flip garbage plates. All right, Rafe. We're basically, what is it? June. It is June 24th. It's pretty much July. It's pretty much
belated happy Father's Day, Brian.
Thank you to your father as well. Okay. We good friends. I love your daddy. So let's get it on, Rafe. The mid-year point. I'm not here to ask you your mid-year awards, so don't give me that look. I'm saying this is the first half of this weird year, 2020, the year of the COVID, the year of a lot of things. Hey, Rafe, in some ways you do have to admit, I don't want a long political rant from you, but you do have to admit this COVID has exposed a lot of things that were wrong, that were under the surface. Marital problems between people, mental health things that needed to be checked. Racism, it's gotten some of that out a little bit, okay? The box is threatening to come back in the second half. We've got apparently Golden Boy coming back with Virgil Ortiz Jr. We got Eddie trying to figure out his backyard. And we have an somewhat imminent PBC and Showtime announcement in the next week of some decent ass fights, it looks, for the second half of the year. Are you confident, given COVID, given everything, given the potential of studio lot fights, that we can have a second half that's like interesting, that is potentially even fun in box? Maybe not because we get great fights, because there'll be no live gate, but maybe because at least we'll get the frequency of pretty decent fights. I mean, we're going to see ish every damn weekend for the second half of 2020. Do you have a glass half fulleth or not?
I think it'll be fine. I'm not. I'd say glass half full. Yeah. And I think even Top Rank, you see, they started slow, but the announced fights are getting better and better. We probably aren't going to see a best versus best of stars type matchup. Except Loma. For maybe, Loma. What's that?
Loma versus Teo, September, in front of fans, per Bob.
Yeah, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it, and I hope they do it. Great. You know, let's see if we can get Lomachenko into the country. Is he here yet?
Remember, I know the only time we have outdoor fights, it seems, is football stadiums, but remember Caesar's Palace used to put all the big-time ones in, like, the parking lot? You know what I mean? Do we go back to that? there's a lot of open space in Vegas.
There's a very good argument for it, right? I mean, shoot, StubHub Center is already the best venue in boxing, and whatever they call it now, I'm still calling it StubHub Center. Could you take some fights to Carson.
What if everyone wore a mask?
That would be safer than not. I don't know. I don't think you would find a public health specialist to come in and say, "Oh yeah, that's great," but it is better than nothing, especially if it's reduced capacity. But then you get to the economic questions where at what point is it even worth doing this if we're only allowed to have 25% or 50% of the people in here for social distancing purposes. That's a question for the promoters and what, you know, their pocketbooks and what they're willing to maybe lose up front in hopes of keeping the sport alive or putting the sport in a better place. Boxing isn't really a long-term plan type of sport. You kind of got to get the most out of every transaction because you're probably going to get screwed on the next one. Anyway, look, seems like everybody's going forward with making fights. The fights are more or less decent. That's good enough for me. I'll watch.
Okay, thank you. I hope we get a few proper fights.
Oh, look, let's see if it's a proper fight.
No.
Yeah, come on, no. Let's see it. Oh, my goodness, Mary.
No, they might hurt each other.
No, this is really the only bit I've been interested
in. Yeah, Eddie mentioned recently the great Sandman, Lewis Ritson, perhaps fighting Regis Prograe now that it seems like Mo Hooker is not going to agree to whatever weight they want.
Yes, you can never trust the hooker, Rafe. All right, indeed. That's our show for the week. I'd be in on that fight. Yeah, hell yeah.
Bitch, I'm a savage.
Yes, I am. All right. Rafe, that's it. You know, hopefully there'll be more announcements by the time we rejoin next week. We can recap and find out if the other Maloney got sent to hell. And yeah, all right. That's what I got. Okay, you got anything else to add? You know what I'm saying? You're healthy. Your blood's good.
I've not been coronavirus. I'm good.
As far as I know, I've never been tested. I've never been tested in the ring. I've never been tested by the virus for the virus. I don't know what I'm walking around with, I feel great.
Okay, that's great.
I don't know. It's very, very confusing. This is danger, no? The words.
I just want to shout out one of our brethren in the box pod game. You know Johnny Sig from Las Vegas.
Hell yes.
You know, I realized that I was not seeing the whole man. I was not following him on Instagram, so I stepped up my IG follow game. And are you woke to the Johnny Sig experience on Instagram? I'm getting his daily multiple PSAs. I feel like I'm getting high watching him. I love it. It's great.
I believe I am, although I don't have quite the same – I haven't paid as close attention. I'm too busy following Nico Macias. I'm all Rooster all the time
Johnny
on my
Sig
IG.
Looks like a guy he's ropes approved. We could hang with him. He looks like a good vibes only guy. Okay.
Let's get back to Vegas for a fight someday. Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Okay, Johnny Sig, we're coming to your city one of these days. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. I hope you like it. All right.
Oh, it was that thick.
Yes.
It was that intense.
Yes.
It was that heavy.
It was hot. Yes. 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 Yes.
That's just disgusting.
Yes. Yes. All right. Hey, that's it for the show, Rafe. Listen to that First Cut Pod for your golf needs. And check out the Skinheads if you like that, too. For Rafe Bartholomew, it's your boy, BC. Rafe, I would like if you could give two words.
We out.
For the people of this podcast. What was that, Rafe? I didn't hear you.
We out.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.